Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, the portion that we read together, and we want to look at our text that can be found in the verse 8. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 8. They answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. Let it alone this year also. Let's speak to the Lord and ask for his help. Father in heaven, we thank you for the hymn singing, the praise that has taken place from our hearts, Lord, tonight. We thank you. We've got a wonderful and a great Savior to sing about. We pray now as we would focus and turn our attention upon the word you've laid upon our heart. Prepare, Father, be a word in season. We thank you, Lord, that your word is like a hammer that breaks the heart in pieces. And maybe there are some here tonight and have hard hearts. I pray the word will come with power to them and break their heart and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be given to us to preach, and also to the congregation, Lord, as they would listen to thy word. And you'll bless us tonight with thy presence and with thy power. For thy glory we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let it alone this year also. In John 1 verse 11, we find the Apostle John writing about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ among the Jews. And John said this about Christ, the very commencement of his ministry. He said he came on to his own, and his own received him not. And the picture he's painting here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, coming to his own people. Coming to the Jewish people, just where they were in their life. And he came and he stood in their presence. And he preached the word of God in their midst. But John records these sad words, that they received him not. Instead of bowing down before the Lord of glory, instead of accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, they rejected him. They received him not. And no doubt it is true of some in this congregation. How many times the Lord has come into our presence by the preaching of the Word of God and by the power of His Spirit. And in a sense, you've come face to face with Christ. You've heard His message. You've heard His pleas. You've heard His invitations to come to Him. But you receive Him not. Man's heart hasn't changed. After all these years, from the times the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, man's heart is still full of rebellion. He still hates Christ. He still hates His word. He will not come to the Lord Jesus. Is that your heart tonight in this meeting? You receive not Christ, but you reject Him. And if you're not saved tonight, you're rejecting the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the soul. Their rejection of Christ can be seen in their persecution of Him. We read in Luke 4 about the Lord Jesus standing in the synagogue preaching the Word of God with mighty power and with the anointing of the Lord upon Him. And it tells us that He preached the Word to this people. The verse 29 tells us what happened. And they rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong. Oh, do you see the hate, the bitterness in the hearts of the Jewish people? Christ preaches the word of God, and they come and they lay hands upon Christ, and they take Him to this brow of the hill, and they sought to cast Him over the hill to a certain death. You see, they hated Christ. They sought to get rid of Christ whatever way they could. Of course, in that passage you'll find He escaped. But yet the message is very clear. Man hates Christ. He rejects Christ. And no doubt there are sinners tonight. If they could, if it was possible, if they could get their hands on Christ, they would cast the Lord Jesus away from their presence. And if you're not saved tonight, this may be the cry of your heart, Lord Jesus, away from me, away from me. I don't want to be saved. Running away from Christ. See, the Jews did this. We see it in his preaching. We see it in his parables as well, because the Lord Jesus told parables time after time and showed that the Jewish people rejected and hated him. Here's one such instance here in the parable of the fig tree. The owner comes. He owns the vineyard. He owns everything about the vineyard and what's in the vineyard. And he comes and tells us. And remember, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to the vineyard and he looks around him and he comes to this particular tree and he finds that there's no fruit upon the tree. And yet we find here, after the sentence was placed upon it, that it would be cut down, it was spurred, and it was spurred for one more year. Let it alone this year also. This was the cry of the vine dresser. Let it alone, Lord, just one more year. And just leave it. And then we'll see, Lord, if it brings forth fruit. And if not, we'll cut it down. Now, historically, this parable, as I said, it has to do with Israel. The Lord came onto his own and he preached. And he visited his own people. And he sought to bring them the good news. And he sought that they would hear the message of salvation. And they rejected Christ. But no doubt, historically, these words can be given to Israel. But personally, they can be given to the hearts of the unsaved. They have been fruitless towards the things of God. They have not brought forth fruit unto God. They have not turned from their sins. They have not trusted Christ. And yet, here, my friends, is a great message. God spurs them. God spurs them. And we think of the beginning of another year in the house of God and in each and every one of our lives, and especially the night in the lives of the unsaved. Not saved. No hope. And without Christ, all the message goes out. Let him alone. Let that woman alone. Let that young person tonight alone for one more year. For one more year. You see, spurred, my friends, for one more year. Oh, in this spurring of a fig tree, we find three lessons about God. We find, first of all, the long suffering of God towards the sinner. Here was a fig tree that did not deserve to be spurred by the owner of the vineyard. This tree did not deserve to be left alone for another minute. Never mind, my friends, another year. Here was a tree that was fruitless. Here was a tree that was of no value to his owner. And yet he let it alone for one more year. His long suffering towards it can be seen in a search. Because it tells it in verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon. And here's this man, he's coming into his vineyard and he comes to this particular tree. And he searches every branch. And he lifts up, my friends, every leaf of a tree. And he's looking for something on this tree. You see, it is a fig tree. And the fig tree is to bring forth fruit. And he searches. And he searches every branch of the tree. But he found none. He found none, you see. There was no fruit on this tree in his vineyard. Oh, some people would say, well, no, maybe it was just a bad year. Maybe some would make, well, excuses for the tree. Say, well, it was all to do with the weather. There wasn't not enough sun. There was not enough rain. But oh, dear friends, verse 7 tells us, he sought it for 3 years. It says, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Year after year, the owner came to this particular tree and he searched it and he searched it. And friends, he searched it every year. For 3 years he sought for fruit. But listen, he found none. The fig tree was useless to this man. The fig tree deserved to be cut down, my friends. But it was spurred for another year. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you, the fig tree is a very fruitful tree, it tells us. But even in the first year of its planting, it will bring forth some fruit. They tell us after 3 years, it will bring forth mature fruit. But oh, dear friends, here's a tree brought no fruit. Now, what's the parable teaching us? Well, the long suffering of God towards sinners. Because the fig tree, like the fig tree was searched, you know, God searches every one of us. And because tonight in this meeting we're preaching the gospel of Christ, and we're preaching specifically tonight to those who bring no fruit in their life, who are not saved, God is searching you. The Lord searches every one of us, of course. In Proverbs 5 and verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he plundereth all his goings." Isn't that amazing? God's eye is always upon us. And here the proverb in Proverbs tells us, he plundereth all his goings, everything about us. There's nothing God does not see in our lives. And we're all saved here tonight. God is looking. God is looking at your life. And God is looking tonight at every area of your life. God is looking for fruit. He's looking for it. When you read the word of God in Galatians 5 and verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith." In Ephesians 5 and verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And all these fruits is found in the hearts of those who are saved. And God comes and he searches the lives and he searches the hearts of the unsaved. And he's looking for fruit. He's looking for righteousness. He's looking, my friends, for love. He's looking, dear friends, for the fruits of truth in their life. But he finds none. Know all God ever sees when he comes and looks at the hearts of the sinner. I think it is described over in Genesis 6 and verse 12. It says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Oh, this is what God sees when he looks at the unsaved's life. He sees sin, he sees wickedness, he sees nothing, my friends, but corruption. As God looks at your life, that's all he sees. Wickedness and sin and lies and deceit. Rejection, rebellion against Christ. And here's the amazing thing about it on sale tonight. He spurs them. He spurs you. Here's a man came to this vineyard and he sought it. And he sought fruit on this tree. And he sought it for 3 years. And yet he gave it another chance for one more year. And here on sale tonight, God spurs you. The very fact you're sitting in the beginning of another year, it's God's long suffering. He has looked into your life, like I said to you, not just for 3 years. And maybe some in this church for many years, not saved. There may be some brought up in a Christian home. And tonight finds you not saved. How many years has God sought into your life for fruit? How many years has God looked into your heart? But nothing but sin, nothing but wickedness, nothing but corruption in your life. But yet he spurs you. Yet he spurs you, friend. Do we deserve it? No, not at all, you see. You see, dear friends, you are still allowed to remain in this vineyard, even though you're fruitless. That's a long suffering of God towards a sinner. Oh, dear friends, in a search, you can see the long suffering of God. But in the sentence as well, we can see the long suffering of God. Because you notice here what it says in verse 7. It says, find not, it says, cut it down. It says in verse 7 to cut it down. You see, the tree was under sentence. As Matthew Henry says, down, the remedy is very simple. It is very swift. Just cut it down. Take it out of my vineyard. And here was a tree. It was under the sentence of death, in a sense. It was useless. It was fruitless. And the owner said here, well, take it down. A quick, effective remedy for the fruitless fig tree. Cut it down. And yet it was spared for another year. Another year. Oh, dear friends, here we have the long suffering of God towards a sinner.
Do you know, as the unsaved live in this world, the Bible tells us that they're under the sentence of death. That is found, of course, in the words of Christ in John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. The unsaved does not have to wait to go to judgment to find out if they're going to get into heaven or they're going to be saved. No, the Bible tells us if there's somebody in this meeting tonight and they're not right with God and they're not saved, the Bible tells us they are condemned already and the wrath of God abideth upon them. And yet God spares them. Here's a sentence upon this tree. And when I cut it down, but yet it was spared, my friends, for one more year. You know, tonight in one blow, God is able to cut any of us down. One swift blow tonight on Satan in this meeting. God is able to take your feet from underneath you and cast you down to the pit. And cast you down to hell. To be lost for all eternity. Yet, my friends, he spurs you. Even though you're under his wrath, even tonight, when you're under his condemnation, he spurs you. He says, one more year. That's the long suffering of God. Even in relation to the sentence, he gives you another year. Oh, he sees your sin. He sees your sentence tonight that you're condemned already, yet he withholds it back. When Jesse Ryle said these words, there are many in every congregation who hear the gospel, who are literally hanging over the brink of the pit. They have not the least idea how near they are to destruction, how true those words are. People who hear the gospel and hear about Christ, he says they're in a sense, they're hanging over the pit, but they don't know it. Oh, my friends, tonight, the long suffering of God, let it alone. Let it alone this year also. God is long suffering towards you. Even though you're under his wrath. And even though you deserve it. Everybody deserves the wrath of God. We have sinned against him. We have broken his laws. We have failed them. We deserve to be cast down into hell tonight. Every one of us. But God is long suffering. Long suffering tonight towards the unsaved. The long suffering is also seen here in relation to the soil. But you notice what he says in verse 7, and this was the owner said, why cumbereth it the ground? The word cumbereth means entirely idle, useless, to fail or to lose or to make void. The tree was doing no good. It was actually doing more harm than good. Because here the owner is saying, in a sense, it is sucking up moisture from the earth, which could be used to feed the good trees. It was cumbering the ground. It was doing harm in the vineyard. It deserved to be taken out. It was fruitless. But, oh, dear friends, it was also useless. But yet he gave it one more year. It cumbereth the ground. It was doing harm to those other trees around it. Let it alone one more year. One more year. Oh, friends, we can see here the long suffering of God here towards the unsaved. The tree was good for nothing. Time and money and energy was being wasted upon this tree in the vineyard, yet it was spurred for another year. There's also true in the lives of many unsaved people. They cumbereth the ground. They do harm to where they are. Not, of course, all in the same way. But many a sinner brings annoyance to those who are around him. Ministers, how he has cumbered with them. He has sought to warn them of their sin and to preach to them Christ and to plead with them to come to Christ. And they go on in their sins. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 17, he says to Jeremiah, the Lord said to Jeremiah, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of a trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And God set watchmen. He says, go out and preach unto that people and tell them to repent. And tell the people to return. But the people say as well, we will not hearken.
They come with the grind, you see. They come with the grind.
And even influence to those all around them. Even the servants went out and the prophets went out and they preached.
They come with the grind. As you manage a problem at home with a heavy heart. Because they wouldn't listen. Manage a minister, manage a preacher goes home from services with a heavy heart. Because the unsaved won't listen. You see, come with the grind, friends. Even in relation to parents. Many cause annoyance to their parents because of their rebellion in rejecting Christ and going on in their sin. We find that in the life of Esau. Esau was 40 years old and tells us there in the verse 34 of Genesis 26, he took two wives, two heathen wives unto himself. And here's what's recorded in the verse 35 of Genesis 26, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. It grieved the hearts of his parents, but he didn't care, you see. He cumbereth the ground. He says, I will do whatever I want. I will live my life. I will have my way. Didn't matter about his parents. But he cumbereth the ground. Are there any young people here tonight not saved and you're annoying your parents? By the life that you live, by your rebellion, by your sin, you're like this tree. You're like this tree that we've come across here in the Word of God, you see. Useless. Doing harm. Is your life having effect upon other people? Is it hindering other people in coming to Jesus Christ? All the long suffering of God towards sinners is found in these words. Let it alone this year also. And God is long suffering towards you tonight. No fruit. He searched you. Your sentence. You're under his wrath. And dear friends, in relation to the soil. No good. He comes to this vineyard tonight. You're doing no good to this congregation. You're doing no good to his cause. Doing no good to the Word of God and to Christ. The Bible says man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But you've not glorified God. There's no fruit in your life. This year also, says God. That's his long suffering. He spared you even more in a year. He spared you many years. The long suffering of God is found in these words. I see also the love of God towards a sinner found in these words as well. We see this in the plea. Because the vine dresser said, announcing verse 8, they said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. There was a plea. There was one who pleaded for the tree. And he says, Lord, just let it alone. Just let the tree alone. One more year. There's one pleaded for this useless, this fruitless tree. The love is seen in the plea and also in the performance. For the vessel said, let alone one more year, give it one more chance. He says, there are certain things I will do. He says, I'll dig around it. This is going to be hard work. But this man was going to come to this tree specifically. It was not that he was going to ignore other trees in the vineyard. But he says, I'll go to this tree and I'll work even harder in this tree. And I'll dig all around it. And I'll do everything I can just by digging around it to make sure it gets the water and the oxygen and whatever it needs in order that it bring forth fruit. I'll do everything I can, he said. I'll dig around it. And he says, I will put dung around it in order to help it grow. In order to help it bring forth fruit, you see. He did not pray that it would never be put down. But he said, let it alone for one more year. And he said to the owner of the vineyard, I will work hard. I will dig and I will dung around this tree in order that it will bring forth fruit. Well, the dresser of the vineyard is none other than the Lord Jesus. Well, thank you for a great mediator he is. He intercedes to God the Father on behalf of fallen sinners. And why the Bible tells us there's a present judgment, as I have said, about to fall upon the heads of the unsaved. There's one who pleads. There's one who prays. There's one who intercedes. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He pleads that they be let alone for one more year. He Himself is going to deal with the unsaved in order that they may bring forth fruit. How does He do this? Well, He's going to dig around the life, around the heart of the sinner. He's going to work in their life. He's going to use the law of God, of course. He's going to bring them face to face with the commandments, how they're supposed to live in this world. He's going to show them their sin by the law of God. In Romans 3 verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And the sinner is brought face to face with the law of God. And what is happening? God is digging around them. The Lord is convicting them. The Lord is showing them their sin in order that they might be saved. He shows them also the valley of loving the world. The many people today loves the world and the things of the world, the possessions, oh my friends, and the sins of this world. For the Lord's going to come and He's going to dig around their heart. He's going to shake them in a sense. And He's going to show them the folly of loving this old world. And 2 Peter 3 verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come with a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall melt away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." The folly of loving the world, everything's for the fire. Everything's going to be destroyed. Oh dear friends, God works in these ways in the hearts of the unsaved. He shows them the value of their soul. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He shows them the love of Christ and how Christ loved sinners and how He died that terrible death and He shed His blood upon the cross in order that we might be saved, and they're brought face to face with the gospel and the love of Christ and how He can save him and how He can give everlasting life. He brings them into trials and into troubles, and He turns their world sometimes upside down, like a Philippian jailer. His whole world was turned upside down in order that he might be saved. And God digs around the lies and hearts of sinners. He works, my friend, in their lives. And I say, has the Lord been digging around your life? Maybe there's some tonight concerned about your soul. Maybe for years you never thought about your sin. You never thought about eternity. You never thought about heaven. You never thought about hell. You never thought about Christ. But oh, my friends, tonight in this meeting, God is working in your heart, and you're concerned about your soul, and you're concerned about eternity. You see, the Lord's working this year also. Personally, Christ by His Spirit's working in your heart. He's given you another chance. This is what was happening to this tree. One more chance. The vine dresser says, "I will work. I will dig. I will tongue around the tree to see if it brings forth fruit." The Lord woke around your heart tonight. Is He dealing with you, my friend, to come to Him? Trials, sickness, troubles, conviction of sin, showing in a greater measure the love of Christ to sinners. You see, He's digging. He's digging around your heart tonight. And also going to dung around them. Someone has suggested the dung increases growth, of course, but these are the promises of the gospel message to encourage us to come to Christ. In John 6 verse 37, those great words, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." What a promise we have here from God. What a promise we have from Christ. Oh dear friends, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever," any him in this meeting, anybody in the world, "if they come to me, despite their sin and despite their shame, if they only come to me, Christ says, I'll take them in. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that a wonderful promise for you tonight in this meeting? Just come the way you are. The Lord knows all about your sin. He knows all about your wickedness. He says, just come. Just turn from your sin and come to me. You see, friends, the promise is here of Christ to come. He says, I will in no wise, I will in no wise cast out. In John 6, verse 47, the wonderful promise of Christ is, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. What a simple promise that comes from the lips of Christ. Whosoever believes in me, whosoever trusts me, they have everlasting life. And this is the Lord working in the hearts of the unsaved, that they'll find forgiveness through His blood, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And the Lord said, I forgive you. I'll take away every sin of yours. I'll cleanse you, as we were singing in our opening hymn. He calls them by His love. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, friends, He works in the hearts of the unsaved. One more year, here we have the love of Christ to sinners. So Lord, work on your heart tonight. You've heard the gospel promises. You know, and you believe them, that they're true. You know, if you come, He'll take you in. You know, tonight, if you believe, He will save you. He will give you everlasting life. You know, tonight, they come, He'll take away every sin. He'll bring you to heaven, and He'll save your soul. You see, He's working in your heart. There's many a person tonight that's never heard the name of Christ. There's many a person tonight sitting in churches throughout the world, and they don't know the need of a saved. But you know. You've been told it. And the Lord has been working in your heart, personally working Himself, that you might be saved. And that you might bring forth fruit. As it said in Revelation 2, verse 21 of Jezebel, and I give her space to repent of her fornication. Giving her space. This year also reveals the love that Christ has for sinners. He's going to give them another year's grace. He gives them more grace in order that they might be saved. This year also. That's the love of God to sinners. And we have a year before us. Some of us may not reach the end of it. Are you ready? Are you saved? Maybe, dear friends, in a few weeks some will be taken away. But oh, we have God's love here. He extends His mercy. He extends His grace. He extends a day of opportunity to you that you may come, that you may believe, that you may repent, that you may trust, that you may be saved. He does this. That's His great love. Do you deserve it? No. Do you deserve to be cut down in a moment? Yes. So do I. But this year also. One more year. God working in the hearts of the unsaved by His Word and by His Spirit. But also in this we see this year also the limitation of God towards the sinner. You see, my friends, when this came, this vine dresser looked to the Lord of the vineyard, and he says, let it alone this year also. My friends, it was his last year. Because he says here in verse 9, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And why God is long-suffering, and why God tonight is merciful, and why, my friends, He is patient, and why tonight He gives opportunity after opportunity for those to repent and trust Christ. It's not everlasting. The limitation of God is found in these words. This year also. One more year. And that's it.
one more opportunity. And you know, if it brings forth fruit, well, everything's going to be all right. The tree will be spurred. But if it does not, cut it down. And that's the matter, Satan. You see, dear friends, the limitation of God. No fruit. Damnation. As one writer said, trees that bring not forth fruit must be cut down. And sinners who bring not forth repentance, faith and holiness must die. This year also, there was a limitation. He did not say, let alone for 10 years. He did not say, let alone for 20 years. He did not say, my friends, tonight, let it alone for 30 years. But he said, let it alone this year also, and if it brings forth no fruit, cut it down. That's it. And you know, tonight, can I say, there's a line drawn in the lives of all unsaved. Brother Philip preached last week. My spurs and over strife of man. And when you get to that line, you're over it. But thank God tonight you're not over the line. Thank the Lord tonight you're still, in a sense, in a spiritual vineyard. Thank God tonight He still works in your heart by the gospel of Christ, by His servants, by the Spirit of a living God. An opportunity has been given to you tonight to repent and to come to Christ. If you come, He'll save you tonight. And what a great way to begin the year. What a great way to begin it, friends. Only a few days into a new year. Come to Christ. And I say to you tonight, turn from your sins and come to Christ. You've borne no fruit for the Lord for years. Listen, come tonight. He knows all about this. But He says, come to me. And trust me, and I will save you. I will give you everlasting life. But friends, if there's no change, then you're lost. You're lost. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. God knows all about your sin. Knows all about your life. You know, you may have leaves. Say, but the fig tree has leaves. And if we're from a distance, you can see the leaves. It's only when you get, my friends, close, you can see there's, whether there's fruit or not. I look down tonight, I can say, I can see leaves. But God is looking for the fruit. This year also, the limitation of God. It'll be a terrible thing, my friends, this is your last year. It'll be a terrible thing that tonight would be your last opportunity. You threw away all the opportunities to come to Christ to be saved. Why not stop where you are tonight and say, I'll come to Christ? By the grace of God, I will repent and believe the gospel. Christ will save you. I'm not going to make a public appeal tonight. But if I can help you, speak with me tonight. As you leave the meeting, go out and come in. You have my number, phone me. Say, Noah, would you call? Speak to some of the elders. We're willing to help you. But what a way to start the beginning of the year, to come to Christ. For I believe Jesus saves, and His blood washes white on the snow. He can save you tonight. May God give you the grace to repent and to believe the gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your help and presence. And I pray you write the word upon hearts. And I pray that you will speak to those who are not saved. I thank you for the grace we find even in our text. But we thank you, Lord, of this extension. It's only for a year. And we know not, it may not even be a year for some in the congregation. It may not even be a week. Maybe some's coming to an end of their year of grace. We pray it's not so. We pray of mercy upon them. And even tonight they'll come to Christ. We're glad there's mercy, there's love, there's forgiveness for those who come to Christ and trust Him as their Savior. Bless your word to the salvation of souls. Bless your own dear people this year. Lead us on closer with Thyself. Take us now to our homes in safety, we pray. In Jesus' great name. Amen.